Hello and welcome to the Modern Salesman Podcast. As always, be sure to follow and subscribe for new episodes every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to listen. We're also on Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as at our website, www.themodernsalesman.co. Thanks. Today, we will be talking all about the four key principles to make clients read your emails. We will also be answering all email-related questions from some of our readers and listeners like you. And finally, we will go over our key takeaways that you can use to achieve your own sales goals this week. Let's get into it. So let's talk about how we can make clients read your email. In the world of sales and business today, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that email is king when it comes to communication. And that's why I'd like to discuss the four modern principles of perfect email communication that will ensure clients read your email. Now, most people use email as a guide to their tasks for the day, spending their first hour checking new messages over coffee, organizing and color flagging, before working their way down this new list of tasks that they've created. Throughout the day, emails come in, varying in degree of importance from instantly trash to must respond immediately or I'll never be able to sleep tonight. Your key clients, best prospects, and professional colleagues are likely all doing the exact same thing at their desk in the morning. The question is, how do they react when they see that new email from you? Do they back burner the notification or glance at it and let it simmer for hours or even days? Are the emails you write being auto-sorted into the trash or some not urgent or important folder? It's time we remedy the way you write your emails. These principles are key for emails not just at work, but to friends, family, as well as when you're interacting with businesses or customer service departments in your non-sales civilian life. So let's dig into the four modern principles of perfect email communication. Number one, write for your reader, not your ego. If you've ever come up against a serious gatekeeper in sales, you've seen someone with email etiquette that is all about their own ego. This is also something we see all too often with self-styled founders and CEOs. What I'm talking about is people who take themselves way too seriously and use their email communication and language to subjugate others. Now, usually one look at someone's email signature will tell you just how much pomp and circumstance they ascribe to their role, and as such, their communication. For example, this is from John Randall Doe III, Esquire, MA, BSc, CSI, FBI, with over 500 LinkedIn connections. I'm the Senior Deputy Regional Executive Assistant in partnership with Bob Jackson Williams, JD, BFA, MD, my boss, lead president, and head CEO and master of the universe. So please do not waste my precious time with your senseless, boring emails, and I will certainly not answer your calls. So, I mean, we've all emailed with someone like this before. An email from this person might begin, "to whom it may concern," or simply, "John," or "Kathy," you know, not even a hello, before an ice-cold, brief greeting, or not even a greeting whatsoever. It will likely contain every single flourish of language known to man in an attempt to assert dominance, importance, and otherwise dismiss the person on the other end of the communication, which is you. Now, I'm going to discuss gatekeepers and dealing with them in the future, but what's important to know for today is do not do this. On your side of the communication, if you over-formalize your email, padding it out with fancy speak and aggrandizing terms, you are alienating your audience and putting up barriers to communicating with you. When you project superiority, you infer inferiority onto your reader. Now, as someone trying to forge a relationship and build a bridge to business, like we're always trying to do in sales, this is the exact opposite of your goal. So keep your language positive, concise, and clear. Get to the point. Stop building yourself up with lavish, frilly, and complicated sentences that just scream, "stop reading," to whatever poor soul happens to finally open your dreadfully long email. Your email should be a joy to read, not a scolding courtroom proclamation of your superiority. And please, please do not rate your email as if it was a text message. Maintain a reasonable level of decorum at all times. Number two, be light, concise, firm, and leading, never supplicating. So continuing from the first point, I'm sure you're asking, well, how do I be firm and concise without inferring superiority? Well, the answer is by being kind. Keep your email light and easy, but to the point and direct. If you're going to ask a question, don't beat around the bush to the question or ask it in three times as many words as you need to do so. A quick greeting is good in your initial communique, but beyond that, stick to business in a light, kind manner. When people open an email that has three lines of greeting, four sentences of how you've been fluff, six sentences of background information, and then finally a single question, all they see is a wall of text, and they skim, glance, and delete. Goodbye bonus. Stop sending bloated, chunky emails that read like college essays, complete with an intro, body, outro, and references. They will not be read. Now, in addition to being light and concise, you must also be firm and leading in the way you speak. Stop filling your sentence with presupposing maybes and justs and I was thinking. This makes your client think you are unsure about these items, and as such, they will be unsure about them too. They will become unsure about how much they truly matter, and poof, your email will be deleted. Come back to me when things are solid, your would-be client will think. So always be firm in your statements. They should read as fact. Always be leading in your language towards yes. This is a key factor in every communication. Always be closing to the next step. Do not just leave things to waft away in the ether. You sent them an email for a reason. Get to it and make sure they know what the next step is and are ready to act on it. And as a bonus tip, your email subject should probably be the reason for your email, ideally in the form of a question. Number 3. Give them what you want before giving them what they want. Now, this is something ingrained in us all, starting from childhood education and even preschool. We answer questions in order as they come. Someone asks of you and you provide the answer, easy as that. Now, in the busy world of business today, however, your client is likely so caught up in their own affairs that they just want to get the information they needed and move on. And this is especially important when conversing with clients already in your sales cycle or accounts you're managing on an ongoing manner. So let's say you've just received an email from a longtime customer regarding current account matters. You have an amazing client event coming up that you want them to attend so you can increase your sales. Instinctively, you would want to provide the answer to their burning question foremost in your message before going on to mention your exciting event, but this is incorrect. You need to lead with the information you want them to know before giving them the information they need to know. So for this example, I would start with a short greeting and invitation to your amazing client event. After that, you can follow up with the answer to their question. Now, don't worry, you're still answering their important query, but you're just ensuring they learn what you want them to before they move on to whatever else is important to them today. Number 4. Your email is the launch pad, not the destination. Unless you're attempting to blanket your prospects with boring emails about a product to build name recognition, then yes, the email would in fact be the destination. But most often in this case, the only person making money is the person who sold the marketing plan to the company that bought it. And would you like to know how it was sold to them? Over the phone or in person. If you sell anything more than a standard transactional consumer product, you must know that speaking to a person directly using your voice is the absolute best way to build a relationship. Building that relationship is the key to making any deal. So use your email to be direct, to the point, and concise, and lead them to either a telephone appointment or an in-person meeting over coffee. This is where you can showcase that brilliant personality and your endless vocabulary, your humor, and your good nature, which I'm sure you want to cram into every single piece of email correspondence. This is also where you can discern your prospective customer's reactions, emotions, and sway to every word that comes out of your mouth. You can learn in real time exactly what they need from you, and often give them the answers to any questions right then and there. There will be no lengthy back and forth, things missed, and details needed. Only the opportunity to proceed to the next step. Remember, endless, lengthy email chains are for your customer service team, not for relationship building and making sales. So what now? Well, if your inbox is empty, just look at your outbox and read your most recent sent emails. How much work have you put onto your reader? How hard have you made it for them to simply just reply to you? Take these four principles and apply them to your correspondence every day this week and see for yourself. People will start to respond, literally. Okay, let's get into this week's questions. My first question's coming from Shauna. Shauna says, my product is highly complex. I sell dental office equipment and requires a lot of client education before they become comfortable with making a big purchase. My corporate training advised us to make sure we come off as the expert in our field, and things like our language and qualifications really demonstrate that. How can I still get my knowledge across without coming off as being superior to the person I'm emailing with? Thanks. Well, I mean, Shauna, this is definitely something that a lot of salespeople have ingrained into their knowledge, really, and it's something that is good and usually works for us. You know, we want to be seen as the expert by our clients. What I would try and do is, you know, people tend to speak in the same way they wish to be spoken to themselves. So try and mimic the amount of formality and briskness the person you're emailing with is using. So this is going to make them feel the most comfortable. So, I mean, obviously you want to get across your qualifications and your language, but you don't want to come off as being superior to the person you're emailing with. So I would, you know, send an initial short email that just says, hi, you know, I'm Shauna. I'm, you know, looking to speak to the office manager about the products that you're using, and don't overload it with too much info on that first email. Then they're going to come back to you. You can see the way that that initial person you're speaking to, how they speak, you know, and how they want to be spoken to. But always ensure the way you speak and write is appropriate to your station and your brand. So if you're coming off as an expert and you always want to come off as an expert, don't stoop down your conversation, but never use it to alienate the people you're speaking to. Always speak on the same level. Usually you'll get to see how they like to be spoken to once they've emailed you back the first time, and you can see and go from there. The important thing is to show your knowledge when it matters. Don't blind them with facts and info before you're even sure you're talking to the right person. I mean, on your initial email, you could even do a small signature. You know, most people do their full signature on the first email in a chain, but you could even do your smaller reply signature that has a bit of the gist of your qualifications on it. Until you're sure you're speaking to the right person, then you could bring forward your full amount of qualifications that are in your signature, and then you can provide them with the knowledge and the information you have when it matters. I hope that helps, Shauna. Okay, question number two today is coming from Steve. Steve says, hi there. I know you mentioned you would be speaking about how to get past gatekeepers in a future article, but I was wondering if you could give any quick email tips to make sure your email gets past a gatekeeper the first time, especially if you don't even know who your ideal prospect is at the company, i.e. CFO or purchasing. Thanks. Well, Steve, I mean, going off of what we were just mentioning to Shauna, I mean, you could start with an initial email that doesn't really provide all that information up front. Obviously, it's going to be clear who you're working with, you know, Steve at Johnson Chemicals, for example. So it's going to be in your email address, and you should always have an email signature. Don't just send them an email that says, hey, I'm wondering who to speak to in purchasing. Thanks, Steve. Make sure that there is a signature so they know who you are, but, you know, maybe you're not sharing so much of your specific intentions off the bat. Key things that I like to do, try and make your email tone sound like you already know the person who you want to speak to is. So look online, get the name of that CFO or even the person in purchasing if you can, and then just nonchalantly send your email to the gatekeeper. Maybe it's the executive assistant there. Hey, I'm just trying to speak to Joe in purchasing. If you could go ahead and forward my email, that'd be great, and we can get in touch. This way you don't need to specifically say what it is, but you can still give an indication that you kind of know who you're supposed to be speaking to, and you have a right to be speaking to them. You should be speaking to them. I also like to make my email tone sound like it's something important for only this single person to know or learn. So again, hey, you know, you're sending an email to that executive assistant. Hey, I just need to speak to Joe real quick. I have a question. If you could forward my email so we can connect, that'd be great. Thanks. that executive assistant is then going to forward your email because they think, hey, Joe needs to speak to this person from Johnson Chemicals. It's obviously important. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just going to get them connected. And you can go from there with the person in purchasing who you know is the actual decision maker. This kind of ties in, but try and make your email sound like it's something to do with their business. So, you know, make it sound almost as though you have an inquiry for them about something they can do for you related to their business. So almost like you're maybe going to make a purchase from them when really you're just trying to get in touch with the person who makes those decisions so you can sell them your business and your product. So again, getting past gatekeepers, yeah, I'd say just try and project that confidence. Don't overdo it. Just keep it light and simple. That way there's not going to be any reason for them to turn your email away or you know, not pass it along. It's just, hey, this is important. I know who I'm supposed to speak to. I'm supposed to be speaking to them, and you want me to speak to them. That's the best way to get your email through. Hope that helps, Steve. Okay, so let's go over our key takeaways for today. Number one, write for your reader when you're writing emails, not your ego. Stop trying to pump yourself up and make yourself seem more important than you are. This email is a tool. It's not a resume. It's not a showcase of your skills. You're just trying to get to the right person as quickly as you can without too many hassles along the way. Always be light, concise, firm, and leading, but never supplicating. You don't ever want to be begging for this communication. You just want to make sure that you're giving them the information that they need in a positive, not negative manner, never talking down to them, and you're always leading towards yes. You're always closing towards that next step so that no emails are just drifting away into the ether and can go unanswered. You want to always give people what you want them to have before giving them what they want from you. So if they're asking you a question or they need that information from you, I'm not saying don't give them that information, don't give them that answer. What I am saying is make sure you get them, you know, to know what you need them to know off the bat before giving them the stuff that they are looking for. That way they're truly going to get that important information. Finally, remember your email is the launch pad. It's not the destination. So you need to get in touch with the right person. Don't bore them with a huge wall of text or anything like that. Just use this as an opportunity to connect over the phone or in person over a coffee. That's where you're going to really discuss the details and make a true connection and actually build a relationship. And that's going to lead to making a sale. All right. That's all for today. Have a great week and happy selling. Thank you.